Call this meeting to order. This is the special session of the Mayor and Council of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and State of Arizona, to be held on Monday, June 17, 2019, at 5:30 p.m. at the City Hall, Building 915 South Toberville Road, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Joni Giacomino.
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins.
Here.
Mayor David M. Smith.
Here.
Councilmember Leslie Johns.
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein.
Here.
City staff, Stephen Pocken, Interim City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Jesus Haro, Public Works Director, Albert E. Chavez, Police Chief, George Castillo, Fire Chief, Britt Hanson, City Attorney.
Thank you, ma'am. We do not have call to the public on the agenda. However, we have a couple people that have asked to speak, and so I will allow that and start with Tamara Birch. Ms. Birch, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you, Mayor and City Council people, City Manager, and all the beautiful community members, and our two applicants. Thank you for being here. I'm proud to be part of the city. I live in Ward 3, 215 Hereford Road. Basically, my comments have to do with agenda item number one, and it has to do with our applicants for the city manager. Two-part question. What attracted you to Bisbee, and how do you feel you fit into our beautiful community that, particularly the arts is work and education, my heart throbs. I don't know if they'll have time to answer or can they answer, I'm just being an interested party here. And then Heather running for city manager, reading her application. She worked for 5 months as a city manager in Clifton, and I'm just wondering why she has left that position.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Donna Foley.
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Donna Pulling, and I just wanted to call to your attention that the resumes of the two applicants are not attached to either the agenda or the amended agenda, nor are they in the packet that is at the rear of the room for this meeting. So that was just a comment that I wanted to make. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Coronado, the resumes were posted yesterday at 4:30.
Correct, online.
Thank you, ma'am. The next item of business is item number one, which is discussing the position with the candidates. And as I understand, we drew straws or flipped coins or made a unilateral decision.
Yes, we'll go with that.
And I understand that Ms. Teresa Coleman is in the up first.
Yes.
And so we will have our personnel director accompany Heather Reuter to places elsewhere.
Okay. Okay. Can you
hear me?
Is it good? Done.
Yeah. We're,
okay.
We're,
I can't hear myself. So.
Yeah. Just you may want to pull it a little closer to speak into it.
Okay.
All right. First of all, Ms. Coleman, I'd like to thank you very much for being here and for the opportunity of us being able to ask you more questions in public. You've gone through a long day today. You've gone through multiple panels of individuals, both staff as well as members of the council and community members. And I want to thank you for doing that and for consenting to join us from the great state of Minnesota. So with that, we're going to each ask you a question. And I would be happy to start with Ms. Giacomino.
Do we do it in order, or do we each choose?
Typically, we do it in order.
Okay, then I'll start with question one. How does one obtain and maintain public trust?
I maintain public trust and actually earn the public trust by being available and accessible, providing information when it's requested.
I guess we move on.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Social media, such as Facebook and Twitter, are increasingly significant means of communication with the public. How do public officials use this process effectively without violating the open meeting law?
By not formulating an agreement outside of a public meeting.
Anything else you'd like to add?
To me, that's the true test of whether or not there's been a violation is whether or not there was an intent to formulate an agreement outside of the meeting.
How do you stand on the idea of privatization and of contracting out for public services?
There are certainly circumstances in which finding out what the advantages or disadvantages of contracting might be. I have contracted for employees with manpower to find out if we had a good fit before making a permanent hire. That's worked really well. The city of Casson contracts for engineering services. That's worked really well for us. We've contracted for our EDA coordinator. He brings a whole organization with him, so we get more than just one person's expertise. We get the expertise of a very large organization when it comes to economic development. So there are times when it can be to the council's advantage to do that.
Thank you.
What is your definition of a balanced budget?
Ideally, the budget is balanced when we're able to add to our stabilization fund at the end of the year. So that's to say that not everything that was budgeted was spent, and we come away with a little cushion in the end.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And for the clarification for anybody, when you speak of stabilization fund, you're talking about a reserve account. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you.
How have you professionally supported a policy or decision from your mayor and council that you disagreed with?
I did disagree with the decision to deny a rezone and conditional use permit. Following the meeting, I informed the applicant that their appeal of the Planning Commission decision had been denied and provided them with that information in writing.
So the policy or the decision had already come from the mayor and council?
The Planning Commission had made a recommendation to deny the rezoning conditional use permit. The folks who had applied for those appealed the Planning Commission's decision to the City Council.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I felt that there were perhaps underlying reasons the Council was basing their decision upon that weren't necessarily tied to zoning decisions. But the Council did deny the appeal, and I did inform the applicants that their request was denied.
Thank
please provide an example of a creative community development plan that you have initiated and or participated in, including outcome?
When I worked for the city of Lewiston, they had a bowling alley that had gone out of business. The EDA had made a loan on equipment in the facility. The bank that was foreclosing on the property asked me to come take a look at the equipment and find out if the city was interested in retaining their interest in the equipment. When I met the banker there, he just offhand said, well, I would sell this to the city for 90% of the value of the notes. And we left it at that. But as I thought about it overnight, it seemed pretty brilliant that the city could get control of a vacant property that had problems with the roof. So the city did purchase the property for $90,000. $26,000 of that came back to the city as unpaid taxes. Another approximately $2,500 came back to the city as unpaid utilities. And the city did sell that building to Dollar General. And the city that did not have a grocery store or a convenience store ended up with a very nice facility for their residents. You're welcome.
Excuse me, but I don't have the questions on the back.
There are no questions.
There aren't.
Well, I've got one here that does. So that's the one I don't.
That was
okay,
got it.
No, it's the same.
Oh, you're right. It was.
No, it's the same one.
Are we good now?
Yes, I've got the right one. I just needed to get rid of one of them.
Is there anything you want to take 3 minutes and let us know why you want this position?
Yes. Can I acknowledge those questions?
Oh, please, Emma.
Is that okay?
Of course.
Yes. And would you rephrase
that? Okay, so basically I was asking what attracted you to our community, particularly our arts community, you know, that I love with and live in the education. And then also maybe why you left your last job or why you
to make a change now. Sure. Okay, excellent. Bisbee is a larger picture of the town that I currently live in. I live in Lanesboro, Minnesota. It is a tourist town. We have guests that join us every weekend to take advantage of bike trails and the Root River Trail for canoeing, kayaking, tubing, biking. And we also have a theater and an art gallery. So those are things that attracts me to Bisbee. It's very much like a home that I enjoy right now. I like the walkability. I understand the neighborhoods are kind of far from each other, but I like the walkability. If you live in a neighborhood, you can get to a coffee shop, you can get to a park, you can take advantage of amenities in your neighborhood. So I do appreciate that. And I have not left my current position. I am currently the city administrator for the city of Towson, Minnesota.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the long day that you put in.
Yes, well, some of you have been just as long. Yeah. Joni joined us for breakfast, so she's been in it with us. You're welcome.
Okay. Mr.
I will walk her out and keep going.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
A real pleasure.
Joel.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Well, we can pull it, flip that mic around if you don't mind.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Now?
Yes. There you go. Okay, let me catch up here just a second, please. Okay, I wanted to thank you very much for the log day that you put in.
You're welcome.
For coming all the way from Tucson.
It's such a journey.
And most of all for your interest in this position. And what is going to happen is we're each going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to give you 3 minutes to wrap it up and tell us why you want this position. Because it has come up several times, I do, before we start, want to give you a quick opportunity to discuss your leaving Clifton, Arizona after 5 months. So if you would like to address that.
Okay, great question. I just first want to say Clifton was an amazing community, and I was truly humbled by being able to work there. It had nothing to do with mayor and council. It had nothing to do with my staff. Everyone was extremely supportive. 99% of the people there, amazing. It had to do with personal safety, and that's all I'm going to say on that.
Thank you, ma'am. With that, we're going to start at the other side, and maybe you'll get the question you want. Just
maybe.
Ms. Klein, would you take the first question?
Hello. How does one obtain and maintain the public trust?
First of all, you need to be transparent, honest and open communication. If you make a commitment, you need to follow through with that commitment, and you need to make sure that you're keeping the public well informed. There can't ever be an illusion, just even the slightest illusion, that you're not being open and transparent with the public, because that will diminish your trust with the community faster than anything else.
Social media such as Facebook and Twitter are increasingly significant means of communication with the public. How do public officials use this process effectively without violating open meeting law?
There's a fine line there. So putting out notifications as far as, you know, we're going to have streets closed, or we're going to be doing construction in this area, or praising our staff for things that they've done in the community, or praising a community member for things they've done in the community. Putting out information that should be brought up in council meetings during an open meeting law, we need to really screen and make sure, and before anything is posted, you're reviewing that carefully. If you have any questions, we need to speak with our attorney. The last thing we want to do is put anyone in harm's way, nor expose any information that shouldn't be out there. Because as soon as you put it out on the internet, it's there for everybody to see. So we really need to be cautious on how we use that. Thank you.
How do you stand on the idea of privatization and contracting out for public services?
That's a great question. Obviously, I would love to keep all the services internally. Unfortunately, not all communities have the skills and the knowledge to do that. You may be going through transition. People may leave that have licenses to operate wastewater treatment plants, operate collection systems. We may not have an internal person that knows the IT system. And with the HIPAA laws, we really need to be cautious with that. So there are certain services that we absolutely need to contract out if we can't fill those positions internally with the right credentials. I don't think it's in the best interest of the community for the other positions, because if you work here, you live here, and you take pride in your community, and so you're going to give more than if you brought in someone from the Valley or someone from Tucson, and you're going to understand the dynamics in a greater light because you live it every day. But there are certain instances where you become in a jam and you need to seek professional services, and you need to bring that in for the betterment of the community. If you fall out of compliance, there's an issue.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Heather, what's your definition of a balanced budget?
My definition of a balanced budget is not encroaching into the general fund reserves. Those reserves are set aside and should be growing every year for emergency purposes. If something happened downtown and now we have to spend $500,000 to $1 million to fix a collection system, where are we going to pull that money from? It has to come from the reserves. I don't believe in using the reserves for reoccurring expenses. One-time funds, expenses, emergency expenses, and then we're putting money back into the reserves every year. That shouldn't be dwindling on a yearly basis. It should be either staying the same or hopefully increasing the reserves as we move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
How have you professionally supported a policy or decision from your mayor or council that you disagree with?
My personal opinion doesn't matter. This was in the best interest of the city. So I'm going to provide you with the correct information. I'm going to allow you to make your own determination. I will make a recommendation. It's not based on personal bias. It's going to be based on what I view is best for the community. And it may not reflect the same as your view. That's why you are elected officials to make that final determination. But I will provide you with all the information on both sides of the story.
Ms. Jackman.
Please provide an example of a creative community development plan that you have initiated and or participated in, including outcome.
When I was in Iowa, we had a middle school, and they were building a new middle school. And this middle school structure was historic. Everyone that lived in this community went to this middle school. And this middle school was the only place where they had a stage. The new middle school was not going to have a stage. So what we did is we worked with the school district, and our city hall was dwindling, and we needed to get out of there. So we repurposed the middle school for not only for public services, so we could combine all of our departments, but also we were able to put in a gallery for art upstairs, a banquet area to be rented out, and able to keep the stage, so that way the community could still have access to plays, concerts of children, and things of that nature.
Thank you. Would you like to take a couple minutes and tell us, I believe Ms. Birch had asked a couple questions, and you're welcome to answer those. Or if you choose not to, just tell us why you want this position.
I believe I'm a great fit for this position. I love small communities. It's where you can make the biggest impact for the smallest changes. With my background in civil engineering, I understand the challenges of the infrastructure, and thank goodness you have a qualified public works director now, because that makes all the difference. Also, you know, being in a small community, you learn to come together in times of need, right? You're there for your neighbor, you check on each other, and you may not always agree. What I find interesting about BISB is the different wards, the different areas. How do we connect that? You know, I appreciate the distinctness of Old BISB, Warren, and San Jose. However, let's connect them. You know, let's connect them via bike paths, via walking trails. You know, let's bring people together. If I want to live in San Jose, I want to bike to Old BISB and go to the restaurant and go to eat or go see an art gallery. I mean, we need to have that connectivity. It not only brings the community together, but it allows for the residents here to actually enjoy the community on a higher level than they already are. So that's all I have. All I want to say is thank you very much for everybody who participated, for your time. I know it's been a long day for all of you as well as for myself, and you take time out of your busy schedule, so it's greatly appreciated.
And again, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Item number two. discussion of possible of approval of a motion to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38.
I move to go.
431.03.01 for consideration of the employment and appointment of a city manager. Now, sir.
I move that we go into your executive session.
I second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Those in favor of the executive session signify in the stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Ms. Bowen, did you not get your...
I signed up for number two, so...
Okay, I thought you took care of it all at once. Please?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Your reason for going into executive session, you cited Arizona's revised statute 38-431.031. That statute reads, discussion or consideration of employment, assignment, appointment, promotion, demotion, dismissal, salaries, disciplining or resignation of a public officer, appointee, or employee. It goes on to say that with the exception of any public right, except that with the exception of salary discussions, an officer, appointee, or employee may demand that this discussion or consideration occur at a public meeting. The public body shall provide the officer, appointee, or employee with written notice of the executive session as is appropriate, but not less than 24 hours for the officer, appointee, or employee to determine whether discussion or consideration should occur at a public meeting. My concern is that this person that you are going into executive session about is not an officer, appointee, or employee, and therefore it doesn't qualify under the executive session statute. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, the Attorney General has provided both its manual and I think in an informal opinion from many years ago that interviews of executive employees can be held at the fair.
Thank you, sir. So we stand in executive session. We will be leaving. You may reconvene.
Second.
I will indicate, this, and I'll make sure everybody, this is operator chair.
You need a driver's license?
Yeah, I need a driver's license. I may need a pilot's license. We have, you know. Okay. All right, we have a motion. We have a second to come out of executive session. All those in favor, signify by stating aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. Item number three, discussion of possible selection of a preferred applicant for the position of city manager. Discussion is open, council. Do we have a motion?
I move that we select Heather Reuter as our preferred applicant for the position of city manager, subject to the finalization of negotiations for the contract for that position.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and we have a second. Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Giacomino.
Clarify, please.
They're making a motion to, begin contract to negotiation.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Aye.
Aye. Sorry.
Councilmember Higgins.
Aye.
Councilmember Johns.
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Smith.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. We, Mr. Higgins.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second to adjourn. Those in favor of adjournment signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
I apologize for misunderstanding. I felt a little like I was expecting to say who I was choosing.